say that again.
There Thanks, you. Brother. Yeah, we need it's Wednesday night. We're going to have a little 1 hour course here on how to use this technology. Yeah, I appreciate all the all of you young guys. Seth, thanks for sharing that. That was a real blessing. And just for all of you young men who have been sharing in the openings, God bless you for that. It's refreshing. It's refreshing for all of us to see you digging in the Bible and getting a word from the Lord, whether long or short, doesn't matter, but just an encouraging scripture or some thoughts. It is a real, it's a real blessing. And you realize, too, when you do that, that it's not easy to preach. Some brothers make it look so natural. And we've got some of those brothers. Preaching is hard. It's easy to come up with thoughts, but then when you actually are preparing to preach and stand up to preach, for me, and I know a lot of other brothers that have shared that, it's hard. It's hard to study to preach, and it's hard for me to preach. But I appreciate everyone who takes the time and the effort and to seek the Lord and to say, God, what do you want me to share? What do you want me to tell the brothers and sisters? What would you have them know? And God breaks the word for us. Praise the Lord for that. So yeah, thanks for doing that. God bless you all. Really appreciate how Jake has everybody involved in that. And so the thing I wanted to, that was on my heart, at first I was going to preach on the Word of God, the inspiration of the Word of God and the preservation of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God, but that's more like a teaching and I'm not a teacher, I'm an exhorter, so that one came hard. I need a lot more time to meditate on that, so I just put that on the shelf. And the other thing that was on my mind was light, let your light shine. That's the scripture that's been coming to my mind. And some of the songs that Marcus picked this morning were that very thing. The light of the world is Jesus. And some of the other songs and some of the things that were, some of you had prayed, were praying along that lines also, I noticed. And so that was the thing that was on my mind, that's been on my mind to share. Let your light shine. And I want to encourage you and exhort you to let your light shine for Jesus. And that's all I had to share. Mark pulled that one on us, didn't he? I probably, I don't know, about 10 years ago, we were down in Port Bruce doing some work, and we stopped by the variety store there in Ontario, and the owners there are Jewish, and so I got talking to them, and I asked them if they thought Jesus wasn't the Messiah, and they thought that Jesus couldn't possibly be the Messiah. And what could you add to the life of Jesus? How much better could you get? If Jesus isn't the Messiah, who could be the Messiah? What would he look like? And I don't know that they knew, but one thing that they did share, the man said, he said, with everything going on in the world today, we need the Messiah now more than ever. He longed. With all the darkness going on and things have only multiplied since then, 10 years ago. The state of the world, the darkness, the corruption, the sadness in the world. I think he would say today, if he hasn't realized that Jesus is the Messiah, I think he would say the same thing. If ever we needed the Messiah, it's now. If ever we needed the Messiah, it's now. And he longed for his coming. And when he said that, it gave me great joy on one hand, because I was like, because I knew that Jesus is the Messiah. And it was like, yeah, that's right. If ever we need him, it's now, and he's here and he lives in me. And it's just as exciting. And on the other hand, I was sad that he didn't know, because all things are possible to him that believes. And he didn't believe. He couldn't have the faith that Jesus is the Messiah. And so I was sad on his part, that his eyes were not open to this most glorious truth ever. And turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light is sprung up." And that is that's an exciting truth. Here, the world was in darkness. People which sat in darkness, that was Israel, was sitting in darkness. That was the Gentiles when Jesus stepped on the scene, when Jesus came into the world, when Jesus began his ministry, the people were sitting in darkness. Jews and Gentiles alike, they were sitting in darkness, and they saw a great light. And that's what the Bible says about Jesus, that Jesus is a great light. "And to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up." And we see that there in the New Testament when Jesus came, and him being the light of the world, a light sprung up in the region and in the shadow of death. And as it was in Jesus' time, it's like that today too. You know, there are regions and shadows of death even now, all around us. There's regions of death and there's shadows of death here in Stanley and Williamsburg and Fredericton and New Brunswick and all over. There's regions of death and there's shadows of death all around us. And it doesn't take a lot of looking to see that. You go down to the variety store here in Stanley, you see that whole wall full of liquor. Is that life or is that death? Many people coming and partaking and taking that home and ruining their lives, destroying their lives and destroying their marriages. And walls of cigarettes in there. And the porn industry today and the broken marriages. So many people, so many marriages split up. And even since we've been here, we've seen marriages split up. And with every marriage that splits up, a child doesn't have a mom and dad who love one another, who are together and giving that security. There's devastation. We're in the region of death and sorrow and shadow of death all around us. Excuse me, my throat. That's why this thing's hard to drink out of. But that's why we do the singing and then the praying and then the preaching, because you want the preacher to be able to. Sometimes when you have the singing and then you have first the prayer and then the singing and then the preaching, then you want to sing, right? So then the preacher who's preaching doesn't sing because he needs to save his voice for preaching, right? But I sang a little too hard anyways, and my throat's sore. But let's turn to John chapter 8. I want to encourage us. Nehemiah, he encouraged them all. I mean, everybody. He inspired everybody there to build, to start building the walls and the gates, and everybody and every family's involved. It's like, whoa, if I could just inspire, some of us here to, I mean, if I could inspire us all, that would be tremendous, right? I would do what Nehemiah did. Inspire to build, inspire to be a shining light for Jesus. That's what I want to aim at. John chapter 8 and verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Isn't that exciting? Jesus is the light of the world, and he's inviting, he's throwing that invitation out. Come, follow me. And everybody who does, everybody who follows me, you will not walk in darkness, but you're going to have the light of life. And it's not just any light. It's the light of a life, a light that gives life. What a light. Not just a light. I mean, this light doesn't give life, but Jesus is not just any light. He's a light that gives life. The light of the world, he said he is. What a blessing. And in John chapter 1, turn back there a little bit. Verse 6 says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him," that's Jesus, "might believe. He, John Baptist, was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That, talking about Jesus, was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so we see that John came to bear witness of Jesus. Jesus is the true light. Jesus is the light that springs up in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world, the light that gives life to mankind. And every one of us here that is saved is so thankful for that light. That light came because we lived in darkness, didn't we? We were in darkness. We were without God. We were hellbound, and Jesus came and brought light into our understanding and into our heart, and Jesus enlightened us. Praise God for that light. And then Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Now this is a bit of a turn, because I don't know how many of you are familiar with, they call them the I Ams, even in the Gospel of John, right? Jesus claimed to be a lot of things, and which he was, right? He said in one place, I am the resurrection. How many of you would say, I am the resurrection? I don't think any of us would touch that. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the door. By me, if any man come in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out find pasture. None of us would touch those things, I don't think. None of us would say, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the resurrection. I am the door. It would be blasphemous for any of us to speak those things, wouldn't it? But there's one thing that Jesus said in John 8, verse 12. He said, I am the light of the world. And now Jesus, he gives us part in this ministry right here in Matthew chapter 5. He says this, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Isn't that something? A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that's my exhortation that I want to encourage you with. Jesus gave us part in this ministry. And so he's saying to you that ye are the light of the world, the only one of all these things that we could touch. That Jesus has shared that with us, even though he is the true light that giveth life. The light. The light of lights, I guess you could say. But he also shared this with us. He said, and he's saying that to you, every one of you who are believers, you're the light of the world. Therefore, because I have chosen you to be the light of the world, let your lights shine in such a way that men are going to see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Isn't that exciting? Amen. That we have part in that ministry. That's a sobering thing too. It's an exciting thing, and it's a sobering thing. I ought to put fear in our hearts that, Lord, you've chosen me to be a light in this world for you. Well, then I want to be the best light ever possible. I want to be the best light there ever was. And it should be on our hearts. We should really take it into our hearts that way. I want to be the best light there ever was for Jesus. If God has chosen me to be a light, and if God told me, shine for me, let your light shine, then I want to do that. Henry gave an illustration a little while ago, if you remember that. He was talking about how when you're up in a jet, right, and it's nighttime, and you fly over a city, and then you see all these lights down there, right? And you see some bigger lights and some smaller lights. Sometimes you see a whole patch of lights, and sometimes they're sparse and scattered. And he put that question out there. How's your light? How are you doing as a light for Jesus in the darkness? Is your light shining? How is your light? And that's the question I want to ask. And I want you to ask yourself, how's my light? How am I doing as a light? If Jesus has chosen me to be a light, how am I doing as a light for Jesus? Am I a bright light? Am I a faithful light? Am I a flickering light? What kind of light am I for Jesus? Because the world is dark as we know it. We've been saved from this present evil world. This world is full of darkness and sin, and God has called us to be a light in that darkness. And so it's time for us to shine. It's time for us to shine here in New Brunswick. And it's a sad thing when the lights don't shine. I mean, it's something like when the power goes out, when the lights go out for a time, it's alarming. It gets everybody's attention. It's something when the light doesn't shine. And can you imagine, we're thinking of our house is going to sell, that we would build another house. And so let's say the house is all framed up now, and I call up Troy there, Troy Winker, who Matthew works for, and tell him to come on over. I'm going to hire him to do the electrical work there. And we go through the house, and you usually do this with an electrician, right? You go from room to room, and you just go over the whole layout. There's going to be receptacles here, and this is where we'll put the switch here for these lights. And then you go over where the receptacles are going to be, where the switches are going to be, what kind of lights and where the lights are going to be, right? Can you imagine if Troy and I were to go through the house, and I start, and we come into one of the bedrooms, and I'm like, okay, this the light for this room, I just put it right down there in that corner, right behind the nightstand. That's where we'd like that one. And then we go into the next room, we go into the bathroom, and this one here, I want it centered. Centered right behind the toilet there. If you just put the light, the ceiling fan and the light right behind that toilet there, we'll center it. And I don't think I'd get through more than a room or so. And he would stop me and be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Either you're crazy or you're ignorant. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't put lights behind the toilet. You don't put lights behind the whatever, your desk or... And it's not the way it used to be. I know Bob Much took me into this Amish home, and he had this, it was like open concept, right? Kitchen, dining room, living room, all open concept. And right in the middle, they hung up their lamp, right? Their gas lamp. In a place where it gives the most amount of light. But we still do the same thing. Every one of our bedrooms, we have one big light right in the middle, at the top, in the middle, to give light to everybody in the room, right? It makes sense. That's what light is for. And so it wouldn't make any sense to put the light behind the toilet or behind the nightstand. Light is made to shine. And we are the light of the world, right? And so we're made to shine in the darkness. And the reason that this came to my mind was... It wasn't because, you know, sometimes when a brother preaches, when a pastor preaches, he's probably weighing these things out in his mind. What does the congregation need right now? What's the congregation lacking in right now? And maybe there's a lack in fasting and prayer. Maybe there's a lack in evangelism. Maybe there's a lack in brotherly love. So you touch on those things and you spur one another on. Let's not forget these things. But for me, I just seen this as a reality lived out here. And so you say, well, why are you preaching on it then? It's been really encouraging to me. It's been a reminder and an encouragement to me to see you living this out and being these lights and hearing testimonies from people of the light that you are. And it's inspired my own heart. And so I thought, to exhort us to increase even more, that we would abound even more in this. So that's where it comes from. It's just that you have encouraged me, all of you have really encouraged me in this thing. I was sharing with the youth a little bit ago this idea of you guys, and probably a lot of you have heard this from different people that you've talked to in the community. There's something there. The church here has been recognized. This group of brothers and sisters, you have been recognized by a lot of people in the community. And the more people you talk to, it's like, it's almost sobering. Like, everybody knows about us. I mean, it was never this way in Ontario. I'd never, news travels here faster. I don't know. Than it ever did back in Ontario. And so it's amazing. And we've seen this all over that. We've seen it in the hospital with Bernie and Helen and Henry and Marikia spending a lot of time there in the hospital. And they talk about you guys, right? And there's been many testimonies, and Henry shared different testimonies. Testimonies of, you know, even one of the nurses said that she was so encouraged by you guys and the love that you guys have for one another and the peace that you guys have, Bernie and Helen have. And she started praying again, right? There was a nurse that started praying again, hadn't prayed for a long time and started praying again. What a testimony. Some of you guys who were singing there in the hospital and people walked by. Henry told the story about this guy that walked by and just stopped dead in his tracks. And, you know, he gave that illustration there. It's causing people to stop dead in their tracks. It's causing heads to turn, right? You guys. And there's a powerful testimony there. Even the Golden Ministry. I think of some of the elderly people that you guys have been loving and serving and blessing. And they've given that testimony. Many of the testimonies that they've given. They said, you guys remind us of back in our younger days when we had revival. There was a revival in this area. There was like an awakening and just a love for God. And we haven't had that for so long. But you guys remind us of that. Wow. What a blessing. I was talking to one of the, at Henry Medica's place one time, to one of these older guys. He said, and he talked about one of the things that really blessed him is you guys' children. And he was a foster parent, took in lots of children over the years. And he had a friend who was a foster parent, took in lots of children. And that guy he had a 9-year-old boy in his home. And because he put the dog out of the house, this little 9-year-old boy stabbed him with a scissor and killed him. And he was just like, but you guys, your children, they're so respectful. See, it's not just us. You children can be such a light for Jesus too. You children, you can have let your light shine. What a testimony you can be for Jesus. Obedience and respectfulness and looking at older people in the face and shaking their hand and smiling and all those different things, right? You can be such a powerful testimony. And I see the children here doing that beforehand, getting all the books out. And afterwards, they just rush for these books and clean them up. And it just saves work for so many other people. I'm just involved and being a testimony in those little things. Wow. God bless you for that, children. We've been hearing it from different people. I mean, we just have some testimonies, but some of you have so many more testimonies. And our neighbors, some of our neighbors have talked about you guys. And you guys are, they said, you guys are like a ray of sunshine in a dark world. That's what one of our neighbors said. You guys are like a ray of sunshine in a dark world. And my wife was talking to one of our neighbors yesterday, and she said, because of you guys, it makes me want to live a better life. It makes me want to be a better person. You guys make me want to be a better person. That's glorifying to God. And so we're not seeing them. I mean, mostly all of you came from Ontario. And people are watching. I believe people are watching. Who are these guys? And I think they're watching and seeing, like, is it real? The love, the way they care for one another, the love they have for one another, the way that they serve one another, is that real? Is it just a show, or is it real? Is it a lasting thing? And And I think that people are watching, and they're not just watching, they're talking. When they're together, business people, they're talking. And we had a tile setter come in. He lives here in Stanley as well. And he knew all about you guys. And him and his partner were talking, and they just appreciate how you guys train your children and hardworking. And I was talking to a builder this last week that I'd never talked to before. Stopped by his job site, asked if he needed eavesdrop, and we started talking. And I told him who I was working for, which builders I'm doing siding for. And then it dawned upon me. He's like, "Oh, I heard about you guys." And he's like, "You guys are the ones that do really good work." And he heard about Pete Dreger's framing. He knew that Pete Dreger's a good framer. He knew that, and he'd heard about you guys. And it's amazing. And he said, "Yeah." He said, "People talk," and I'm realizing that people are talking, and there's a testimony that's ringing out with that as they're talking. And whether it's a negative thing or a positive thing, people quickly find out about it around here. And that encouraged me greatly to know that I'm a part of you guys. That really encouraged me.
Me too.
And at the same time, it was like a carefulness, right? Like, whoa, I don't want to ruin that testimony.
Amen.
Am I going to be the one to ruin that testimony? Maybe it wouldn't take much. I'll talk about that a little bit after. John the Baptist, John 5:35 says that John the Baptist in his day was a burning and a shining light. That was the testimony of John. How many of you would like to have that testimony about you? So after when you're gone, people would say, "Oh, that sister, she was a burning and a shining light. That brother, man, he was a burning and a shining light in his time." There are those who have lived that way. Let us do the same. So that's the question. How is your light? What does it look like? What does it look like to let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven? And yeah, maybe at this point they're not flocking in here and all coming, they're watching. But you know, when you live in such a way that someone says, "Hey, I want you to frame my shop up. I heard about you." That's glorifying to God. And when a neighbor says that, you're a ray of sunshine in a dark world, you make me want to be a better person. That's glory. That brings glory to God. And when the nurse says, "You know, I haven't prayed for a long time, but you've been a crossroads in my life and your testimony here in the hospital," that's glorifying to God. That brings him glory. Can we be that light that would be like a crossroads to others? A light that helps people come out of darkness. That's what God is asking us to be. And it's his light that shines through us.
Amen.
He is the true light that lighteth every man, the Bible says. And I know for me it was that way. When I got saved and we were working out in the gym and came out, and these guys, Corny, some of these other brothers, met us there in the parking lot. There was something about these brothers that were out there that night that really impacted me. And all we knew, number one, that these are charity. These are the charity people. We knew, number two, that they're wolves in sheep's clothing. They stand on the street corners and they'll deceive you. You need to be careful because these are the people, they stand on the street corners. Just like the false prophets. Jesus warned about the false prophets who stand on the street corners. And we knew we should stay away from them. My dad and my stepmom knew that much. Stay away from them. And so here they were and shared the gospel with us that evening out there in the parking lot. And I tell you, there was something, they were light. There was something about them that I couldn't put them in the same box, this wolf in sheep's clothing and these people here. because we thought we were Christians. And here's some of my friends, you know, some of them are angry and arguing and fighting back, so to speak. And others are sarcastic and just mocking these guys. But here they were in genuine love. And I just remember thinking, they have what I'm looking for. They have something. There's a reality here. There's something in these people that I want. It was a light that shone in my darkness. I was in the region and the shadow of death at that time. And there was a light there that just made me, I just wanted that. I wanted what they had. And I didn't get to see them for a week or two and how they responded and reacted in every situation. But just in there in that evening, in that conversation, there was something there that my soul just desired. I longed for what they had. Strangers had something. Here's another place where you can be a light. That's maybe out in sharing the gospel, but another place that you can be a light is us fathers. And you know, I don't know if I've ever heard, and I maybe have and just don't remember, but I don't know if I've ever heard when somebody gets saved and they get up and they share their testimony in front of the church like this. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say, the reason I want to be saved is because my dad. My dad is just such a man of God. I want what dad's got. I want what my, and maybe they think that, I don't know, but I've never heard that, except I heard that through Leonard Ravenhill. Leonard Ravenhill said his dad had such a fire, such a passion for God. The joy in his life, the transformation in his life, and the devotion that he had for how he cherished Jesus. He said the zeal of his father drove him to Christ. I want to be like my dad. That's a good challenge for us fathers. Are we a light in the home? Are we a light to our, God has said you're a light. You're the light of the world. You're the light in your home. How is your light shining? How's my light shining? That's a challenge. We need to take that and say, Lord, help me to shine in my home. Keith Daniel, a lot of you know Keith Daniel from South Africa. He passed away now, but probably one of the preacher that most impacted my life, especially in my early Christian years, would have been Keith Daniel, preacher, a holiness revival preacher from South Africa. And Keith Daniel was a hopeless cause. He strayed so far from God that his parents literally had no hope for him. He was so reprobate, with no conscience of right and wrong, so defiled, so depraved, so far from God that his family and his parents just thought there's no hope for this guy. And his family lived that way. His dad was like that. His brother was like that. But his brother, Dudley, fell in love with a girl who was a church girl. Her parents were good Christians, and she wasn't a Christian, and they fell in love. And her parents didn't want her to be dating Keith's brother, Dudley, but they were in love and they started dating. And he told them right off the hop, the first time they talked to him about the Lord, he said, listen, I'm not a religious man. Don't have any time for that in my life. I don't talk about religion. It's not a part of my life. Don't expect me ever to be like that. But they had some special meetings coming up. And so they approached Dudley and they said, listen, they said, you're marrying our daughter. You got to do us this one favor. We've got these special meetings coming up at church. This preacher is coming to preach, who's been preaching all over Africa, and we want you to come just one time. You come and hear this man preach just one time. We'll never talk to you about God again. We'll never talk to you about religion again. You just come this one time. And so for his girlfriend's sake, he came and he got saved that night. And he really got saved that night. And when he came home, they told Keith, you got to come and see your brother. And he came home and there was such a transformation in his brother that Keith Daniel went and found this preacher. He went to these meetings and he said, I need to know the God that my brother found. And Keith got radically saved. And through the light of his brother, You brothers can be a light. You siblings can be a light to help another sibling find Jesus. And you don't have to go and live in sin and darkness for a long time to have a really good testimony to impress somebody. But he just saw Jesus in him. And he wanted that. He knew that that was the answer. And your brothers and sisters can see Jesus in you and long for that. And then when Keith got saved, then it was through his conversion that led his dad to get saved, because his dad thought there's no hope. Maybe Dudley, but not Keith. Keith could never get saved, right? And when he seen Keith Daniel get saved and the transformation in his life, a man who drank and drank and drank and smoked 66 cigarettes a day, a man who was just destroyed, his life ruined, found Jesus through his son. And so you sons can, you can be a light in your home to your parents too. We can be a light to those who are unconverted. And even if your parents aren't here, but you still can be a light to your unconverted parents and help them find Jesus as well. God said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Pray about that. See how you can be a light to your parents. There's some of you know the story of David Wilkerson and Teen Challenge and how all that started. But there was listening to a testimony of Nikki Cruz. Nikki Cruz was one of the gang leaders there in New York, in the Bronx of New York. I think he had like 75 gang members under him, and he was the president of one of the most ruthless gangs there in New York City, which was one of the biggest cities in the United States. And here comes this skinny country preacher from, I don't know where he was, South or North Carolina or something like that. And he comes in the city, and his heart is passionate for these gang people. And he comes in there, and he was preaching, and Nikki Cruz showed up, I think. That's how he had said it. And they told him to shut up. They told him to stop. And threatened him, and he told all his guys, get ready to kill. If he talks about God, get ready to kill him. And these guys had done that. They killed people. He held his best friend dead in his arms. And, I mean, they're just really rough gangs, right? I think they threatened to kill David Wilkerson. And he just shouted out. He said, "You kill me." He said, "Go ahead and kill me." He said, "But you'll know one thing." He said, "You can cut me up, kill me and cut me up in 1,000 pieces and spread those pieces all over the streets of New York. And every one of those pieces is going to cry till the last day you live. It's going to cry out to you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you." And how do you kill somebody like that, right? And he told him, "Go to hell." And walked away. And David Wilkerson called after him. You can't run. Doesn't matter which alley, which street you go down. The love of God is going to pursue you. You cannot get away from the love of God. And 2 weeks later, Nikki Cruz got saved. There, 12 other gangs were there. There was his girlfriend was there, all his gang members, and he's the president of his gang, and he just wept and found Jesus because somebody was willing to be a light in a dark place. And that's the light that God wants us to be, a light that makes people stop dead in their tracks at crossroads. Who are these guys? Who is this God that they serve? What a difference. What a just a challenge, right? Our life, our love, our holiness, our forgiveness, our compassion would just be because the world doesn't know it. The world doesn't have it. The world doesn't know it. And they don't know where to get it. And we've got it, praise the Lord. It reminds me of also of the Nelson family. Jake Nelson, when Jake got saved, you know, his brothers talk about him, purple hair and crazy all night long rock and roll music. You know, it says his alarm clock would be just heavy metal music in the morning. And they just like, he was so wild. And these guys would party and game all night and drugs and alcohol and they were all like that. I don't know how many of them there were, 8 or 9 or 10 in Jake's family. And Jake found Jesus. Jesus saved Jake. And here he was, is the rock and roll music is gone, and the cigarettes are gone, and the drugs are gone, and the alcohol is gone, the music, everything's gone. And here he is sitting at the kitchen table. He's got his Bible open, just peace of God is, and he's just transformed, just a changed. He just has a love for his family now, a love for God. He loves his Bible. And just all hell broke loose. And he got kicked out of the house. That was okay, but this is going too far now, right? And he just, but the light, God raised up a light there in that home. And then, I don't know who was next. Maybe Aaron was next. Maybe Pete and Helen Barch were next. And then Will and Henry and Abram and... I mean, it just, you know, they just all started getting saved because in the region and the shadow of death in the Nelson home, a light sprung up and God saved somebody and put his light in that somebody. And that somebody took it serious when God said, you are the light of the world. Now live in such a way that men would glorify me because of you, because of the transformation in your life. And they saw that transformation. They hungered and longed for that light and came to that light also. Will had... And he's still like Jake's life inspires me like very few. I mean, his Will had just I think this last week told him about our nephew. Will reached out to our nephew. We've got a nephew. His name's Noah Liam Isaiah Lacey. my oldest brother had a son. I've only seen him maybe a few times in my life, but he's grown up now. And Will's reached out to him a few times. He was talking to him, I think, this last week. And he said, I know a guy, if you're interested, because he's kind of, his life, he has no hope in life, no purpose in life. And he said, I know a guy. I'll send him over to visit you if you're okay with it. So Jake Nelson goes over there. He was happy to do it. That's what he got born again for. And so he was happy to do that. And it was a light. He was a crossroads in Noah's life, because he's seen this guy that doesn't even know me, so down to earth, so Christ-like, so compassionate. Really, he really cares about me. I didn't know anybody cared about me. Why do you care about me? And he does. He really cared about him. And it's those kinds of things that bring people to Jesus. It's those kinds of things that people just can't shake. It catches up to them and lures them in, right? And that's what we want to be. We want to lure them in. Will's telling me about a testimony also of a Jewish guy. And I was really blessed by it. I was listening to his testimony. His name's Stan Telchin. He is a Jew 50 years. And he, very, very successful man, very intelligent man, very successful at all kinds of awards and education and accomplishments in his life at 50 years. And his daughter was in school, I think in Boston, and she called one day and she said, hey, Daddy, I need to talk to you about something. Is Mommy there? And he could tell in the voice that something was going on. He said, what is it? And she shared with them that she said, I wrote you a letter, but I didn't send it in the mail. I knew this would be very hard for you, but I've come to believe that Jesus is my Messiah. And it was like a knife just went through their heart as Jews. You cannot be a Jew and a Christian. You cannot be a Jew and believe in the Messiah. They're opposites. Christians are Gentiles. Christians are Jew killers. That's the way he grew up. That's how he was treated all his life. And he couldn't reconcile those things. And so they had some confrontation there. She was coming home in 2 weeks for a break. And so when she did, they sat down and talked about it. And things didn't really go well those 2 weeks. But after the 2 weeks, she was going back to school. And she said to her dad, she said, Daddy, she said, will you do me a favor? And he said, well, depends what it is. And she said, Daddy, will you read the Bible? Because I trust you, Daddy, and if you read the Bible and it's not true, you'll know what to do. And if you read the Bible and it is true, I know that you'll know what to do. And he took that challenge, And he read through the Bible and he got saved. And his wife and their other daughter. And he's dead now, but he said, I had ministry for many years. He found Jesus. He realized Jesus is the Messiah. A light sprung up. Their daughter found light. And they seen it in her. And then he took another light and examined that light, which shone a lot of light into his life and transformed him. And God put his life in him and his wife. And now they were lights that led many others to Jesus. And God has called us to be a light. How is our light shining? Romans chapter 11. This man, Stan, brought out the scripture there in Romans chapter 11. When he was addressing this crowd that he was talking to, it's in Romans chapter 11, verse 11. And he said, maybe you're wondering what to do now that I've shared my testimony with you. Many of you have testimonies and you could share pretty amazing testimonies. But he said, maybe you're asking, well, what can we do now? He said, you know what you can do to reach my people? Because he was just talking about how the Jews know nothing. Almost all Jews know nothing about the Bible. They don't read the Bible. They know almost nothing about Jesus. Most Jews out there don't even consider Jesus. They don't even think about him. Other religions, they might think about it, like, and argue against it. Is Jesus the Savior? Is he God? But Jews, he said, most Jews don't even think along those lines. Jesus is not on their minds at all. Just like we don't stop and really think, is Buddhism the way to enlightenment? Like, none of us really sit down and think about that. And the same way, it's not even in their minds. And he said, this is what you can do. He said, provoke my people to jealousy. And I really appreciate that. Make them jealous. And that's what God has called us to do. By being a light, we can provoke people to jealousy. And so this is our goal. This is our ministry. Let's make them jealous. The senior people in Williamsburg, the people that we do business with, the builders and the contractors that we do business with, our neighbors and the people that we're rubbing shoulders with, let's make them jealous, brothers and sisters. Let's make them jealous and long for what we have. And we can do that through, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that God has done for us, and that if we walk in that light as he is in the light, and if we have that fellowship with God and we walk in the peace of God, there's something about somebody that has peace, because very few people have peace. That's why there's so much suicide and so much contemplation of suicide, because there's no peace and there's no hope. And when they see by rubbing shoulders with us that we've got a living hope, that we have peace in our lives, that makes people jealous. That's a light to people. When they see forgiveness, I mean, unbelievers just have a tremendously, I mean, believers have a hard time forgiving people, but we can forgive people because of how much Christ has forgiven us. We can forgive others. And so when people wrong us, when you brothers are out working and you don't get paid for a job, you have an opportunity. These are all tests. When we go through these tests in life and they see that love and they see that forgiveness, wow, that is really something different. When they see the way that we love one another, and that's been a tremendous encouragement to a lot of people around here, is the way that you guys, or the way that this church loves one another. Wow, it's rare. Everybody out in the world is just trying to, they're all out to get to the top of the ladder. Everybody's in it for themselves, right? And all of society promotes that. It's all about you, right? And the idea of no, not me, but others is just foreign to the world. And so when they see us laying down our lives for one another and the sacrifice, the love, the devotion that we have for the Lord, preferring one another, when they see joy unspeakable and full of glory, that's a big one. People who, most people are grumpy, right? Like, a lot, I mean, there's some happy people out there, but most people are really grumpy and they just, And they're contagious too in their own way. But there's something contagious about a joyful person. A lot of people are grumpy. They live for the weekend. They complain all week. And they're looking forward to the weekend. And then after the weekend's over, then they just right back to complain. And they're probably complaining all weekend anyways. But that's what they do. They complain. So when there is true joy in our life, and when people see deliverance and transformation, and I think that all for us has been even how the Lord has transformed us. But I remember myself seeing many people. It inspired me. Wow. I mean, if you'd have known Jake Simons before he got saved and after he got saved, it's like this is nothing less than the power of God. And many of you would, a lot of you I didn't know before you were saved, but you would testify the same thing. Yeah. The transformation, and when the world sees before and after, whoa, what a transformation. What happened? It was Jesus, the light of the world. And Philippians 2 tells us to be blameless and harmless and to shine as lights in this world. So that is what we want to do. I should just give a little warning as well. I was reading in Matthew chapter 24. Because there's the encouraging side of it. By walking with God and loving God and being a real, genuine, normal Christian, how that can inspire people and compel other people to come to Christ. Our life, our example, and our testimony can be like a lure that just draws people into Christ and into the kingdom. And then on the other hand, there's a warning for us, because we can, any one of us is in danger at any time of not letting our light shine. Any one of us can be in danger at any time of hiding our light under a bushel, back behind the nightstand, behind the toilet, whatever, right? We're not letting our light shine. God has called us to be a light, and we're not being a really good light. And all the grace is there and all the power is there to be that light for Jesus. And because we're neglecting God or whatever, we're not really shining our lights. We can walk in darkness if we're not careful. And I was reading there Matthew 24 and verse 29. Said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. It's talking about, and it seems more than just a short eclipse, but it seems like there's coming a time where the sun's not going to shine anymore. It seems like there's coming a time where the moon's not going to shine anymore, where the stars are going to fall down and not shine anymore. And that was the very thing that they were created for. The sun was created to shine. And when it shines, it gives light and it gives life to all of creation, to all of us. There's something about darkness. There's something about, it was a judgment over Egypt, the darkness there, that they could feel it. And that darkness is gloominess, is discouragement, is depression, is, I think of Chet Gallagher up there in Greenland for 6 months, when it was dark the whole 6 months. And it's just, people just fell into alcohol and pornography and all kinds of sin. There's something about the sun in the morning, and the sun rises up and lightens the earth, right? There's something beautiful about that. And when the sun doesn't shine, it's a time of, even it says here, it's a time of tribulation. It's a time of distress when the sun doesn't shine. So how is it with us? Isn't it the same thing? Because God has created us for this very reason. He saved us. He's reconciled us and given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's enlightened us, put his light within us so that we would shine that light to those around us and to one another. And when that light doesn't shine, it's a distressful thing. It's not a good thing when our light doesn't shine. The Lord wants our light to shine. And Ecclesiastes chapter 10, I was thinking of this very same thing here. I had an opportunity to last week to not let my light shine, I guess, or to take revenge, or I don't know how you'd say it, just a little, not a big thing. But we were reading this in family worship, Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1, and I've never really thought much on this verse, but it says, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor." And so when this very situation this last week was fresh and on my mind, we had family worship and God gave me this verse. And it was a situation just to be mean or nasty, or and God gave me this verse there and just showed me that because with this person there's a reputation, and with this person the church has a reputation, and the person's not very honest, and we need to be careful. And this is my encouragement, because the light that's here, the devil wants to dim that light. The light that's here, the devil wants to ruin that light. The testimony that's here for wisdom, the reputation for wisdom and honor. There's a reputation for wisdom and honor here that Victory Christian Fellowship has. And just in the same way that dead flies, you know, you get a few of them dead flies in this apothecary ointment, whatever that is. Sounds good anyways. This beautiful smelling ointment, right? And a few dead flies a few dead flies wreck the whole smell of it, right? Just destroy it. And in the same way, if there's a reputation of wisdom and honor, if there's a reputation of being a light, wow, God is, of a truth, God is among these people. Of a truth, God is with them. And then the devil brings some circumstances and he's going to bring tests your way. And I want to encourage you with this so that you'd be ready when the enemy brings tests your ways, whether in business or in whatever, being neighbors, dealing with neighbors or anything out in public. The way you talk, the things you do, a little, just in the same way that a few dead flies can ruin that beautiful perfume, in the same way, a little bit of folly. If we're going to succumb to a little bit of folly, it can ruin the reputation of the righteous. And so I'm glad that God gave me that verse at that time. And we should take that to heart, to be careful not to allow the reputation to be ruined, because it's God's reputation. It's not us. It's not like we're some light or we're some, I'm not saying these things to elevate. There's other Christians around. There's other churches around who are God-fearing and doing the right thing and being a tremendous light. Marcus was talking about a brother they were working for this week, and he just was evangelized. He's a tremendous brother from another church. God has a lot of lights around, but God has put us here to be a light. And how is our light shining? Let's not ruin that light with a bit of folly, is what I'm saying. Romans 2:24, he talked about there that the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Through the Jews, God was being blasphemed, and blasphemy was you follow that through the Old Testament. That would be a good message to preach. You look at blasphemy, to blaspheme God, you could do many things. But one time there was a struggle between these two men, and the one had blasphemed God, and they stoned him. I mean, it was one thing for them to have a fist fight there and settle their differences, whatever was all going on, wrong one another. But then he opened his mouth and blasphemed God. And everybody that heard it took him away and stoned him and killed him. I mean, so to blaspheme God is a big thing, right? To lower the name and the reputation of God. And the Gentiles were doing this because of the hypocrisy of the Jews. Well, now the light has come to us and God's opened up the doors for the Gentiles, which we're all glad for, right? And God's light lives in us. And so there needs to be a carefulness in us. God forbid that others should blaspheme God because of us and because of our testimony. So that's really all I had to share. It was, the thing is that I seen it. I seen the reality of it here. I'm sure a lot of you could share more testimonies. I've been inspired and encouraged by a lot of you brothers and sisters giving and giving and giving and serving a thing for that. Just serving one another, not just the people out there, you know. Yeah, Carl and Heather. Yeah, a lot of the elderly people there. But even, you know, even Eva serving all the sisters with the mother and daughter thing, and the way that you're serving your neighbors and loving one another, those things are tremendous. It makes me want to be more like Jesus. It makes me want to be more like you. It makes me want to pick up the slack what am I doing? I see your love and I see your light, and I was like, Lord, I want to shine too. I want to be faithful with my light. I want to turn up the dial on my light and be a true light for Jesus. So maybe we'll just close in prayer and